At a time when the coronavirus pandemic has left us all feeling vulnerable and uncertain, violence is being unleashed on the women and children of our country with a brutality that defies any form of comprehension. The women of our country are being raped, they are being killed by men. Over the past few weeks, no fewer than 21 women and children have been murdered. It is deeply disturbing that the spike in crimes against women and children has coincided with the easing of the coronavirus lockdown. According to the police, violent crime, especially murders and attempted murders, have increased since alert level 3 took effect on the 1st of June. Cases of abuse of women and children have also increased dramatically. We need to ask some very difficult questions of ourselves as a society. In particular, we need to examine the effect of alcohol abuse, not only on levels of violence, but also on road accidents and reckless behavior.
Man, this aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the DBS bank loot?
The problem is that pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
Order.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a ship.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come
on the
in?
Point of order.
Hello and welcome to another edition of our Sunday Times Politics Weekly Podcast, a weekly show where we try to dissect and unpack political issues, be it social, economic, socio-economic or otherwise. And this time around, we are looking into the issue of gender-based violence that has once again come into the spotlight. We know that the Sunday Times, for instance, this past Sunday reported about the gruesome murder of Tshegofa Tsobule from Soweto. And the suspect to that case appeared in court this week weeping and abandoned their request for bail. And there has been a lot of other reported cases around issues that relate to gender-based violence. But as always, today, I'm not alone. I am joined by the usual suspect, Apuwe Tikeg. And there's a new player in town, Sisanda Aluta Mboleka, which is our new colleague here at the Sunday Times Politics Desk. Colleagues, welcome. Firstly, Sisanda, what is your general take on the clip that we played as an opening of President Cyril Ramaphosa commenting on the issue of gender-based violence? And do you believe that politically, our politicians, starting with the president himself, are taking the issue of gender-based violence seriously?
Journalism constitutes one of the very few available avenues for survivor stories to be heard, right? So it becomes very important in the manner in which we report and speak about gender-based violence. And this not only speaks in newsrooms, but also goes to social media. One thing I have noticed in the president's address yesterday is that the way that he addresses femicide now is how a lot of young people on social media have been agitating for, right, in terms of the way that we speak. So there's been this narrative of men who kill women are monsters, or they're sick in the head. It's just been a narrative that seeks to take away the responsibility, right, from abusers. And one thing that I noticed about President Cyril is that he called men, men. And when he mentioned women, he didn't say our women, because women do not belong to men, right? And he mentioned the shaming of women and their lifestyle choices. And he also said that it wasn't alcohol that abuses men, but men. And for me, it's just, it's considerable to note that the president is seeing what young people are agitating for and how we are reporting in the news, so that the right social change can be advocated for. So I think I commend the president for noting all these claims, but again, we know that all of that at some point needs to translate to actual action to protect women in this country.
But Sanda, on the issue that you were raising around alcohol, he does appear to draw a comparison between the influence of alcohol and how people behave and how people end up committing these, any kind of violence, be it sexual assault or any other assault on women. He, by saying that the rise in cases began at the beginning of this month when the lifting of the ban on alcohol was effected. Whereas we've had before as well, you see, one thing about our campaign that amazes me is how they contradict each other. We've had before from Bekkie during the lockdown, in fact, at the height of the lockdown on level 5, Bekkie had come with a statement that said that there was a rise in cases of gender-based violence because most people were locked within the same space. But at the time, people didn't really have alcohol. So which is which here? What do you have to say about this particular issue of alcohol and gender-based violence?
I think for me, by me mentioning that he said it isn't alcohol that abuses women, but men, I think he's trying to drive at a point where we stop absolving men for their actions and we stop blaming it on substances. Yes, there might be a link between alcohol aggravating a man to the point where he feels that he has power over a woman and that he should abuse her. But, I mean, as you said as well, Bekkie had mentioned the rise in gender-based violence because now people are locked in their houses with their abusive spouses and there was no alcohol at that point. So I think at the same time, what Cyril was trying to get at, if I had heard him correctly, is that it's not the bottle of whiskey that will go and will stab a woman. It is the man himself, whether he is intoxicated or not. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make here, about how we need to be very conscious in the way that we report on things and the discourse we use around gender-based violence, because men are the problem here, not necessarily alcohol. Yes, there are aggravating factors, and that differ from case to case, but with or without the absence, with or without alcohol, men abuse. I think that's the point I'm trying to get at.
Apiwe, do we have a political will to deal with the issue of gender-based violence once and for all, or do we just have politicians who like politicking and talk shops? Because we'd remember that this is not the first time, as I was saying in a different conversation yesterday, that there is a tendency to make the issue of gender-based violence seasonal in this particular country. And that, for me, I mean, it starts with the media, goes to politicians. Politicians will always play to the gallery. Who would know that the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, was it last year or the year before that, even had a whole summit around the issue of gender-based violence. Yes, last year there was, as part of the seasonal outrage, there was an issue of PNNM Kwetjana, and we don't seem to see what is it that is tangible in terms of practical things that could be done, that is done other than even speeches like that one of the president this week. So do you believe that there is real political will to address the issue once and for all in terms of the practical way of doing things?
Thank you, Vum Vum. I look at it twofold. I think in as much as there may be political will, there is not knowing what to do in order to address this issue from our politicians. You would look at our politics, look at the political parties that are in parliament. In the main, our politics are led and driven by men. When it comes to those issues, for some reason, some of the things that lead to gender-based violence, maybe they are insensitive to them, they don't understand them, or in some cases, they think certain issues aren't issues to begin with. So it's not surprising that the way we deal with gender-based violence, it's very reactionary. Only when there is a murder that has been publicized, only when there is a gruesome murder, then you then turn attention to that. You don't have people who are thinking ahead, who are looking at issues of how we raise our kids, how we condition them, how we educate them, how we incorporate this issue through our curriculum, how on our everyday lives the issues that affect women are raised or are addressed. I think that's the key problem. I'm encouraged by the speech by the president yesterday, It seems for once he took some time and touched on a lot of points that people have been making. I agree with Sisanda on it. Not coming up with it seems he listened and consulted, and you have to commend the people who have advised him to structure a message like that, to say to South Africans, to us as men in South Africa, that you are the problem, we are the ones that are committing these crimes, and so on.
So, Aluta, in terms of the question that I asked Apiwe and how he answered it around political will, and Apiwe raised an issue of not there being enough women in mainstream politics to be able to make men understand these issues. But people would argue that you don't necessarily have to be a female to understand issues of gender-based violence. And in fact, there's more or less about 50% representation in politics, particularly that of the ruling party, the ANC. They even have a specified structure within the ANC, which is called the ANC Women's League. And, you know, there's also the Young Women's Desk, you know. So in terms of those formations within the governing party and government in particular, where we have almost half the cabinet as female ministers, do you believe that, Aluta, women within the political space are doing enough to make sure that something tangible, something practical is done to address these issues? Because they are also like their fellow men politicians. They only speak as and when there's these issues that are highlighted. But generally, that issue seems to take a backseat, even among women in politics. What is your view?
Yes, there is a 50-50 more or so gender representation, but I think the conversation now needs to move beyond that. The conversation now moves beyond the 50-50 in checking who holds which position in that 50-50. It doesn't help to have a 50-50, but say the outcry in the country is how members of law enforcement deal with victims of gender-based violence. And you're telling me a minister of police, Bekicele, who's a man, is going to inherently understand the psyche that victims have when they walk into police stations. Just the other day, he was denying that there's police brutality. Yet we're seeing fellow black men dying at the hands of the policemen in this country. How more so when women are walking in as victims of gender-based violence at police stations and being turned away and told to go and fix things at home with their husband and not involve members of the police force. So I think the truth of the matter is really, it is inherently uncomfortable for politicians to address gender-based violence, because then they have to first admit that they're part of the problem. Right? You can tell me about having 50% women MPs, but is their voice heard on these issues? And even if their voice is heard, even if they are consulted, the people that can effect change and pass these laws, do you think there's a will from their side? Which is something I think is not there, right? It was not so long ago, gender-based violence was a political football in Parliament. And obviously that sparked outrage, but women were silenced again by letters and statements of apology without anyone really going to investigate the possible truth behind those claims. I don't think there is more than a handful of politicians in this country who can stand bravely and say they have never, ever in their life or can never been in a position where they could have been seen as someone who is either a perpetrator or someone who not condones gender-based violence, but is complicit to it, right, in any way, shape, or form. And I think we need to also move away from viewing gender-based violence as inherently ending up in death. Someone does not need to die for it to be gender-based violence. I do not need to end up in hospital to be gender-based violence. Just being catcalled, that is an infringement on my safety as a woman. So I think once we dissect where the problem lies and we don't just classify it now when it's too late, and we don't just cause outrage when it's too late, I think that's when we're going to be able to move or drive the conversation in a different direction. But as for are women formations doing enough, I think women formations like the Young Women's Desk within the ANC Women's League also aren't having an easy time there, I would think. I remember from my days on campus, all there are really is an activist group. All they exist to do is agitate, but do they have access to those spaces? Are they in those boardrooms where laws and bills are decided upon? I don't think so. So I think we must be, we applaud their activism and making of posters and writing of statements and supporting families of victims of gender-based violence. But we can't inherently say it is up to them and they must fix the country's issues, because they aren't in the same rooms as those decision makers necessarily.
Well, what is becoming evident here in our conversation is that the governing party and its government in particular are not doing enough to address the issue of gender-based violence. If anything, it would seem that all they are engaged in is lip service and a lot of unfortunate and unnecessary talk shows. But let's get to look into how opposition political parties are putting pressure on the governing party to do what is necessary. Let's first hear what the president of the EFF, Julius Malema, had to say around this issue on Youth Day.
Our communities must take a leaf from the 1976 generation and organize themselves in a defense of the lives of women and children and report perpetrators of abuse before there is a loss of life. It is from those brave combatants that we can learn collective solidarity and defeat the evil of gender-based violence.
Apiwe, sir, there is the leader of the EFF, Julius Malema, who has, in fact, in the main, if we were to talk about speech, who has made the issue of gender-based violence part, a core of all his political speeches. As someone who has covered the EFF extensively, I can vouch for him in as far as speaking against gender-based violence. But as they say, talk is cheap. How about action? We would remember Susanda raised earlier the issue of the gender-based violence issue being made political football earlier in the year in Parliament, wherein this leader of the EFF, Julius Malema, was involved, where there was throwing of mud between himself and the ANC MP, Boima Mabulu, and Julius Malema making allegations against the president and counter-allegations and all those issues. But in as far as the EFF is concerned, Apiwe, do you believe that they are playing their role? Of course, they are the opposition. They don't necessarily have what it takes to make the necessary change in its entirety. Do you believe that they are doing enough as an opposition party to put pressure on the governing party to do the right thing on gender-based violence?
Look, insofar as they are an opposition party, I'm not too unhappy with them. I think they have been championing this issue. You are correct. In all the rallies, I remember I was saying this to you some other time when we were covering elections. Their leader has always been on the forefront of condemning such actions and even when they are linked to xenophobia and so on, he has been on the forefront. But as you're saying, talk is cheap. We must remember his history. With his support of the president, where he basically made very nice comments about Kwesi and that she asked for money for taxi following the allegations of rape by then President Jacob Zuma. Well, people learn, people change. Let's hope in his case that is that. But from the episode we saw in Parliament, one doubts here and there. But in terms of, you see, you would rather have someone who stands up and talks about these things, and then we pick on the instances where they've done wrong, than to have a leader who is silent on these matters and not talking at all to their supporters. So from my side, I think, they've done quite a bit in their public utterances, and that their female MPs and members have been allowed space to express such a wrong, or rather their views on these matters. They have not been reactionary. If you look at them on social media, you must remember the march that they had sometime last year, having thousands of women marching against gender-based violence. Even when there was no incident, or rather when there was no famously covered incident of gender-based violence, or no one had died at the time. So I'm a bit happy about the work that they've been doing compared to other opposition parties.
I hear you, Apio. I hear you fully. But mine is to just say, again, it is uncomfortable for our politicians, regardless of the color of their T-shirt, to address gender-based violence, because then they'd have to admit that they're part of the problem. I think with the CIC, we see and we hear his utterances in the media, right? But for me, it just seems as though he's perpetually throwing stones at a glass house. Just not so long ago, I think 2 years ago, 2018, there's a very famous story of women in the EFF speaking out about their pain and frustration with physical abuse that they suffered at the hands of their male counterparts and how the party has not supported them. I don't recall the CIC being as vocal about those issues. So it just seems to me that we need to get to the point where now, yes, we can applaud you and commend you for speaking out against these things, but we need action. Women are literally dying at the hands of men, and all we are seeing is utterances, utterances, and utterances. I think each politician must just fix their house and fix their house in a way that brings justice to the victims of gender-based violence, and not just be an event where journalists are called and you speak and you speak and we'll write articles that we'll file, and then the next day we move on to the next best thing.
Mm. Well, we're talking about that. Indeed, I fully agree with you, Susanna. Talk, as I said earlier, is cheap, really, but also the role of an opposition party in terms of action. But as you say, it starts really at home, and that's when you get to understand if someone is genuine or real about their position in as far as gender-based violence is concerned. But just moving along as time is against us, comrades, just quickly, the two of you, I'll start with you, Susanna. In as far as the DA is concerned, I've always found the DA to be quite completely missing in action in as far as the issue of gender-based violence is concerned. What are your guys' views? Am I correct? Am I wrong?
I think you're very accurate. The DA, really, I think we just need to come to a realization in this country that they are there to exist and serve interests that affect their people directly or their constituency directly. Now, this is not to say that members of their constituency do not face gender-based violence, that they do not, or that they are not victims of gender-based violence. But for them, an issue such as alleged farm murders matter more, as I would think, according to how their activism is directed. I think issues of farm murders or alleged farm murders would matter more than women being beaten up, because that's the calculation I am getting from their utterances in the media and their activism. So I always find that the Democratic Alliance is found wanting on social issues, especially burning social issues that affect the black majority in this country.
Apio, do you agree with Susanna's very strong views?
Look, insofar as the DA is concerned, I don't feel them when it comes to making statements publicly. If you compare them with the EFF or with the ANC, they don't have that vigor in talking about these matters. They say they are working on a bill to tackle gender-based violence. They said it last year as well, around that time of the death of Oinene. They have a women's league of some sort. But I don't know, maybe because they are an opposition party, and how they deal with politics and the spotlight tends to be more so on other issues when it has to do with them. Yeah, a number of their public reps, they release statements condemning and they go and have, go to open a case here and there. But even there was that issue in parliament, their chief whip at the time is a woman. She stood up and spoke. But do you remember what she said, Wen?
No.
I don't seem to be getting, but anyway, maybe I'm being unfair on them.
Yes. No, definitely. I'm sure we'll talk until next year around this issue. We'll talk until the next day, in actual fact, if we were to keep talking. But unfortunately, we are limited to time because of the size and length of our podcast. But thank you so much, guys, for joining us today. We'll keep on shining the light to all the issues that matter. Unfortunately, ours is just to write and talk. We do not have the power to effect change in a practical manner like the political leaders that we have in our country do. We do hope that political leaders in this country will begin to take the issue of gender-based violence much more serious. They are in parliament, the majority of them, be it opposition, governing party, they have the power to effect change in real terms by making the laws and the rules that speak to people who are serious about issues of gender-based violence. From last year, there has been talk about the publishing of the list of Sexual Offenders Act. To this day, I don't know what is happening in that regard. There has been talk around the amendment of the Criminal Procedure Act in as far as it relates to gender-based violence, but up to this stage, I am not sure if there's any real progress that has been made in that regard, which is rather unfortunate. So enough of the talk. We don't want no more summits. We don't want to hear no more political speeches and political point scoring along the political parties and the political lines. Enough is enough. Gender-based violence is real, and gender-based violence affects all of us. We demand real change. We demand real action from all our politicians, starting right on the top with President Cyril Ramaphosa, down the line MPs, opposition parties, and everyone involved in the decision-making in this particular country. Thank you very much, my colleagues. Apiwe Dikek, Sisanda, Aluta Mbolekwa. And I am your host, Zingisa Mvuvu. Catch us next time. Continue to engage us on the social media platforms with the hashtag ST Politics Weekly. You can get our podcast on iono.fm and all other platforms where your pods are casted. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you next time. Bye now.